This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The Dead Sea Scrolls, a perennial topic on this program, have returned to our attention due to a current exhibit at the Museum of the Bible that includes some of the scrolls. We talked last time about this current exhibit with Christopher Rolston, Department Chair and Professor of Biblical and Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations at George Washington University. And one of the questions I had for him was about a news story last year about a project at Groningen University in the Netherlands that submitted some of the scrolls to analysis by artificial intelligence. The dates assigned to most of the scrolls were confirmed by AI, but a part of the Book of Daniel was dated much earlier. And this is a controversial part of the book, which carries a late date for composition, according to many scholars. So I ask, is AI a good tool for Dead Sea Scroll study?
Right. I think that AI is a wonderful thing. I also think it's a double-edged sword. And I don't think that it's the panacea that some think that it is, at least with regard to paleography. In this particular article, which was published in Plus One, as you indicate, by scholars from the Groningen School, in essence, they looked at Qumran manuscripts, mostly a grand total of 30 manuscripts. Most of them were from Qumran. They looked at manuscripts which had been dated by carbon 14. And in essence, they used this machine learning tool dubbed ENIC to attempt to refine paleographic dating. What I would suggest is that AI can do many wonderful things, but paleography really isn't one of those things. And here's the reason I'm in print critiquing this study. I think it's useful. I think it's good, but it's not earth-shattering and it's not all that auspicious from my perspective. What I would say is that if you're training a machine to do paleography, you're actually putting into the machine, in essence, the data that will generate the conclusions the machine is going to be capable of producing. And I like that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out. In other words, sure, I think AI is useful. I also think it's something which is a problem within academics generally. AI is.
Well, let's talk about one other aspect of that, because we've had some stories about AI being used to read cuneiform tablets that exist by the thousands in warehouses and haven't been read yet.
Yep. I think that is really useful. That's an example of a really useful way of plugging in AI and machine learning to really be extraordinarily helpful in the field. We literally have, just as you've suggested, hundreds of thousands of texts in Mesopotamian cuneiform, Sumerian and Akkadian, as well as various other ancient Near Eastern languages. The overwhelming majority of those have not been read. Assyriology isn't a very large field. Part of the reason for that is there just aren't jobs in the field. And so it's a difficult field to enter, as are many fields of the humanities these days. But there are far fewer people to read these texts, far fewer people who are capable of reading these texts than we need. If one can plug in AI to do preliminary readings and decipherments of Mesopotamian cuneiform texts, and then a trained scholar can then, in essence, go over this work, correct the problems, and then put out a preliminary translation, that's a really useful thing, because AI could do some of the yeoman's labor on the front end of this. And I think, whereas the Groningen study is not particularly auspicious, and it largely confirmed the paleographic datings of scholars such as Frank Moore Cross, done already in the 1940s and 50s by Frank Moore Cross. So the Groningen model, from my perspective, ENIC as it's dubbed, isn't all that auspicious in what it was attempting to do. But with regard to Mesopotamian cuneiform and the usage of AI, I think this is really auspicious, and the fields are white unto harvest. And I think this is going to be extraordinarily important and useful in the years to come.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Christopher Rolston, a professor at George Washington University in the Department of Classical and Near Eastern Languages, Civilizations, and we're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls, a few of which are currently on display at the Museum of the Bible. We talked about 6 years ago about the problem of fake scrolls that seem to have been purchased not only by the Museum of the Bible, but also possibly by some universities and other institutions. But I haven't heard too much lately about this fake scrolls problem. Does more need to be done to investigate fake scrolls?
Always. Yep. Always. Great question. Thank you for that. That reminds me, this is perhaps one of the most important things for me to say. All of the scrolls which are on display at the Museum of the Bible as part of this exhibition on the fifth floor of the Museum of the Bible are scrolls that are legit. These are real ancient scrolls. These are the real McCoy. The Museum of the Bible, as you indicate, among other societies and museums, bought some putative Dead Sea Scrolls, which were actually modern forgeries, a few years ago. And when the Museum of the Bible commissioned a formal scientific study of those, doing laboratory analyses of the ones that they had purchased prior to the opening of the museum, those were demonstrated to be modern forgeries, and those have been removed. I actually think they should be still displayed to remind the public that forgeries exist. And maybe the museum will do that. They did that for a time. But the ones that are on display now at the Museum of the Bible as part of this fifth floor exhibition, these are the real deal. These are the real McCoys. And so I'd want to emphasize that. In terms of whether we should always be concerned about modern forged texts, including scrolls, the answer is yes. And the reason for that is that there are modern forgeries which continue to appear on the antiquities market all the time. I receive an email or two just about every month from someone who says that they have some inscription which they believe to be ancient, and then they'll even tell me what they think it says, how significant it is. They might even tell me how much money they believe that it's worth. In almost every case, these are blazing forgeries, and obviously from the modern period, not from antiquity. That continues to be the problem. Obviously, the fact that the Museum of the Bible, before its opening, had purchased some scrolls which ended up being modern forgeries, I mean, that illustrates the fact that this is still a problem. It reminds me of something Frank Cross told me a number of years ago. We were corresponding, and he mentioned this in an email, that when he and others who were part of the scrolls team at the Rockefeller Museum were working, and antiquities dealers were actually bringing things to them which they wanted to sell, Cross said that there were forgeries that were coming in at that point as well. And before that time, there were forgeries as well, which had been putatively found during excavations, but in fact were the creations of forgers. These often sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the prices sometimes are in the millions. This problem isn't going away. The financial motivation is much too strong for people capable of producing forgeries, so we always have to be cautious.
There's one other thing I wanted to talk about related to this Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, and that is that the previous exhibit of the Megiddo mosaics from the oldest church in the world is still on display at the Museum of the Bible. To have a 2,000-year-old Bible text on display at the same time as a mosaic from the world's oldest church is quite amazing. But this discovery was made several decades ago, but left in the ground until it came to the Museum of the Bible. And I was wondering, do you think it's gotten the attention it's deserved?
It is rather stunning that these Dead Sea Scrolls from the Israel Antiquities Authority and the Megiddo Mosaic, also from the IA, are both on display at the same time. It's an embarrassment of riches. It's absolutely wonderful. The Megiddo Mosaics were originally on the fifth floor. Now the Dead Sea Scroll exhibits on the fifth floor and the mosaics have been moved to the first floor. But they are absolutely astounding, the Megiddo mosaics. They were published in 2005, found a few years before that. And there are three inscriptions, and I might as well say a few words about them. There's one called the Akeptus inscription. It's probably received the most attention, but even it hasn't received all of the attention it needs. It reads something like this: Akeptus, the friend of God, has offered this table to God, Jesus Christ. This inscription has been dated by the excavators to the first half of the third century CE, the first half of the third century AD. This is a really strong affirmation. Prior to the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, of the divinity of Jesus. I've tried to read it various ways. That is to say, I've tried to see if there's some other way philologically to read this other than this declaration. In other words, I wondered at first if it could be read to God of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, was the word Lord sort of presupposed to be present? We get similar sorts of statements in Paul, but the reading of those who produced the editio princeps of this text, I think is correct. Namely, that Akeptus inscription mentions a table, a communion table, I think. It was discovered there as well. It was dedicated to God, Jesus Christ, or rather fasting. There's another group of inscriptions there called the women's inscription. Women's inscriptions mentions prominently several women from the region of Megiddo, no doubt. And then there's another one, a Gaianus inscription, a Roman centurion. These inscriptions are just fascinating. They're beautifully preserved. As you indicate, they were in the ground until they were carefully removed, preserved, and then sent for exhibition to the Museum of the Bible. They'll, of course, go back to Israel at some point in the near future, and they'll actually be returned to the site of Megiddo, as I understand it. But right now, they're at the Museum of the Bible. They haven't received the attention they deserve. I think in scholarly circles, they haven't received the attention they deserve. The Museum of the Bible did a good job drawing people to those. So even when I was there at the Museum of the Bible the other day to look at the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, I walked down because I couldn't resist. I walked down to the Megiddo display or exhibit and looked again at those mosaics, and they are breathtaking.
Well, it's a great opportunity, and we hope that our listeners will take advantage of it to see all of this great material, not just Dead Sea Scrolls, currently on exhibit at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. My thanks to Christopher Ralston for joining me on the program today, professor at George Washington University in the Department of Classical and Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations. We have a link on our website to the display at the Museum of the Bible. You can find that at radioscribe.com. We also have breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and information on Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine, at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.